Welcome to the 222 Paranormal Podcast, starring your hosts, Jen Shortridge and Joe Shortridge.
Hello.
Hi, brother. How are you?
What is shaking?
It is a beautiful day today.
It's October and it's beautiful out.
I know. It's like summer. I love it. I hope it stays warm all winter. I know it won't. They say we're in for a very snowy winter, but that's okay. Everybody can stay in and listen to our podcast.
There you go.
It's a win-win situation.
Win-win.
Speaking of win.
Who won?
Well, probably not the Lions. They're probably playing as we do this podcast. But Joe, what's going on, my brother?
Nothing.
How are ya?
Okay.
Yeah.
So as I was setting up the studio today, we had a visitor, and our friend Mamba showed up.
Mamba.
What's going on, Mamba? Oh, no, nothing. And I was working on doing some intros and outros and stuff, and kind of showed him. I told him, I'm like, I need to teach you how to do this so you can do them. And he's like, oh, no. And then you showed up, and he ran out the door. I'm like, what the heck is that?
He's
like,
afraid of girls.
I got to let you record.
He's out of, yeah.
And then the neighbor.
Oh, Joe, you know, Joe
cut his grass. Well, first he leaf blowed his driveway. Then he cut his grass. And then he leaf blowed his driveway. And then he trimmed. Yeah. And then he leaf blowed his driveway.
It's hard to record when he's.
And then he leaf blowed his yard. And then his driveway again.
His yard is as big as a postage stamp. And he's out there for hours with his leaf blower. And we're like, we're trying to record. But anyways, let's see, what has been happening? I had a weird thing happen I want to tell all the listeners.
Okay.
It's very strange. It may even be paranormal. Okay, the other night, I've been having trouble sleeping, you know, since I've had this attachment. It's been very strange.
You need to get a hold of Melinda and have her.
Yeah, I was going to. I think she needs to be my life coach slash therapist slash, you know, help me. So I finally fell asleep. So I put my salt lamp on. You know, I have one of those pink Himalayan salt lamps.
I do too.
Because it's supposed to take.
You bought it for me.
I did. the negative ions out of the air. It's supposed to cleanse the air. It's supposed to help you sleep better, improve your mood. It's good for your skin, whatever.
I actually think it works because since I've had it in my bedroom, mm-hmm. I have been sleeping better.
That's interesting. Now, I have to have it completely black. Dark when I'm trying to sleep, so I have to put a sleep mask on because I want to keep that on when I'm sleeping. But anyways, okay, so rabbit hole.
Yeah.
So I was dead asleep. I mean, I was having a dream, and I was dreaming about something, but I can't remember what. You know how that is. And I was dreaming, and I shot awake like a cannon went off. It was the weirdest thing. I like jumped, sat straight up. I think my legs kicked out. I was wide awake to look at the clock and it said 2:22.
Awesome.
And I took a picture of it, but I was just like, it was the weirdest thing. I don't know what that was about. I don't get it. At 2:22 in the morning.
That happens to me too. I wake up. So I mean, bizarre. Not like that. I'll wake up and I'm like, why am I awake? And I look down and in the fuzziness without having my glasses on and I see the shape of 2:22 and I'm like, is that really 2:22? And I'm like,
but I was in a deep dream state because I remember I was dreaming. I don't know what I was dreaming about, but some man or something.
Chocolate.
No.
Snacks.
I don't dream about food. I always dream about being someplace and it's familiar to you, but it's not the same.
Oh yeah, that's what
or
I dream
I'm
of.
I'm late for work or school and I'm trying to get there and it's like 2:30 in the afternoon. I'm like, well, by this time I get there, it's going to be over. And I'm trying to get there and I'm like either on a bus or a car and then I'm running, then I'm like sledding and then I'm swimming and then I'm like got like cement on my feet or something and I cannot even get there.
Isn't that
weird? Trying to find something to wear, trying to shave my legs won't shave. It's the bizarrest thing. And I always dream about just like being really, really happy in love,
mm-hmm.
even though I don't have any love in my life. And I also dream that I play the piano like concert pianist or guitar. And one time I had a dream I was flying, like through a mall. I was flying.
You know, I had a dream once that it was like I was trying to run and I'd get down on all fours and I could run twice as fast.
You animal.
It's so bizarre. I mean, we have the weirdest dreams.
I know. We have to have a dream interpreter come in. But this is like totally not what our topic is about That's today. Fine. But we're just, you know, sharing our strangeness with everybody. Joe and I have been chewing on this topic for a while now.
Like snacks.
Yeah, like snacks. We love snacks. Oh, we have to give a shout out.
Oh, yeah.
We have to give the shout out. Okay, everybody, this is the craziest thing, but I love it so much. You know, we have a Twitter page now, Joe. And you can get us at 222 Paranormal. And I have been posting a couple pictures about like funny stuff, like ghost hunting and stuff. And I always say we need our snacks because when we go ghost hunting, we get hungry. And we like to snack anyways, depending if we're ghost hunting or not. We're just snack or we're foodies, you know? And Lance Snacks retweeted at us that they could help us with that. And so I retweeted back to them that we love their snacks because we do. They're like the little, you know, crackers. Yeah. You get like peanut butter and orange crackers.
It was funny. We were
chive and onion.
For you guys out there, we were
toasty cheese. Yeah. So Lance Snacks.
Lance Snacks.
We love you. Well, send us some snacks.
When you said that first, we were at your house. We were watching.
You were eating snacks.
We were watching a show. And we're not going to mention about these ghosts.
Adventurers.
Yeah.
Okay, we were watching Ghost Adventures.
Yeah. So Jen's like, Lance Snacks retweeted. I'm like, who's Lance Snacks? Why would you name yourself Lance?
That's your boyfriend, Snacks. Lance Snacks.
But yeah, that was cool.
That was awesome. And I eat those all the time. I love when they make these little crackers. You guys know them. They're in the little cellophane plastic.
Is that the ones that are orange with peanut butter in them?
Yes. Oh, okay. And then they have like a chive and onion. And
chive and onion.
Onion. And they have all different flavors.
Chive turkey.
Oh, my God.
So anyways, what is our topic for today?
Okay. So back to the lecture at hand. Okay, I won't swing. We're talking, okay, in general about haunted objects.
Yeah, because we were mentioning about it and, you know, we obviously talking about Zach's museum and stuff and hanging out with Zaphis and stuff.
And stuff.
And somebody actually gave us some dolls. Now, they say they're haunted. So we're going to do some investigating on them. We're going to try to see what if we get anything, but you got to be so skeptical. So we started digging into this, and it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, so Joe and I just have been chewing on this topic since we've acquired these dolls that, you know, how do you authenticate a haunted object?
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of objects can be haunted? And then where are these haunted objects at?
Yeah.
So kind of a threefold thing, but we'll just dive a little deep into it. So let's first talk about what can be haunted.
Yeah.
Or get a possession or an attachment, we'll say. You know, everybody calls it a different thing, but.
But it's basically anything. Anything get it. Anything can get it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because, you know, basically everything's made up of energy at a subatomic level.
Okay.
So you can really get possession in anything. And it really all depends on the situation of the time that it becomes possessed. There's a few different things. Like, let's say a super tragic event happens in a chair. Let's take Michael Jackson's chair that he sat in every day to put his makeup on when he was having that, you know, the disease.
Mm-hmm.
I forget the name.
Vitiligo.
Is that what it is? Mm-hmm. Okay. So anyhow, his chair, which is now in Zach's museum, he would sit in that every day and put on his makeup. And they say, those people over there, say that he passed away in the chair, which I don't remember.
No,
if
he died
or
in
not.
The hospital.
Okay.
Or so, in his bed.
Okay.
We're not sure. That's a little fuzzy, right?
All
right.
So anyhow, the story goes in Zach's museum that the chair, he died in the chair, I guess. And what happens is the minute a tragic event happens, your energy like explodes out of you. And that's how these things are getting possessed or attached, I should say.
Okay, so
not really possession, but I guess in a way they are. But when a tragic event happens around an object, it can get haunted.
Okay.
Also, if somebody uses an object every single day, it's almost like a residual thing. Good example of that, here in Toledo, we have the historic and haunted Woodlawn Cemetery. Mm-hmm. As you drive in there, there's a huge monument. I mean, it's like probably 50 to 60 feet tall. And it's a regular square monument on the bottom. And then there's like a platform with pillars going up to a pyramid. Mm-hmm. Okay. And in between the pyramid and the platform is a chair. It's a living room chair.
What's it made out of?
Well, now it's made out of stone.
Okay.
And the story goes is this woman's husband died, and they built this monument for him. Since he died, she became a recluse and just stayed in her house and sat in this chair for years.
Aww.
And she actually passed away in the chair. They found, you know, they didn't hear from her, so they went and they found out that she actually passed away in the chair. The chair itself, they took to a quarry that makes monuments, and they actually made an exact copy of the chair in stone and put it on top of the monument and then put the rest of the, you know, the pillar or the pyramid on. Well, a lot of people that go to the cemetery have seen an apparition of the lady still sitting in the chair.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Joe and I went there, oh gosh, what was that, about 6 months ago, Joe?
Mm-hmm.
And we took some pictures of it. We didn't get anything at that time. But yeah, it's interesting. So, you know, I'm thinking of like different objects that, you know, everybody's heard of haunted dolls.
Yeah.
And what else is like?
Well, speaking about haunted dolls, I have a couple stats here.
Okay.
I looked it up before we went on.
All right.
And this was like 10 minutes ago. I looked this up. Haunted dolls on eBay. There are 3,088 haunted dolls listed right now on eBay.
Oh, my gosh.
On YouTube, if you type in haunted dolls, 2,490,000 videos come up.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so there's a lot of them.
So, you know, we'll get back into dolls, but there are other things that can be haunted. I mean, like, we've seen haunted cars.
Yeah, cars. That's, isn't that, well, it, like I said, if a tragic event happens in a car, people die, that's the energy put out into that.
Hairbrushes, religious
relics. Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah, so I was just watching last night, you know, I like to go on YouTube and watch weird stuff, but I was watching a video of religious icons that either moved or like the eyes opened or the mouth moved. Like people had videos and it's all over the world.
Yeah.
Of like statues of Mary where the eyes blink. There was a parade somewhere. They had like a statue of Jesus and the head moved and like literally lifted up. And that was kind of freaky deaky. You know, you don't know. You know, you
don't know.
You want to assume that nobody has nefarious intentions with it. But you just don't know.
Well, it's the same as anything else. You just got to, you know it's on YouTube, so there's a lot of fakery on YouTube. You just take it for a grain of salt and, you know, maybe do some research on it.
Yeah.
Look other places.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when, for like dolls example, because dolls are the big thing now, but you really, and anything else, I guess the authentication is the same way. You... Like the traveling museum that we talked to.
Yeah.
You know, those guys are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get them on the show. Yeah. But anyhow, they actually put their objects in their barn or in their warehouse. I forget which one they said, but it's never in the house. And they'll actually sit there and put the meters and the video camera up and everything and
just
watch
film
this
it
thing
and
for
listen to it.
Yeah, for days or to see if anything happens, you know?
Yeah.
Because even those guys, they get a lot of stuff on that, you know, they can't authenticate.
Sure. I think if you are known for that type of thing, then people are going to send you stuff.
We're
just...
Why are you giving it to us?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But hey, you know, we'll take it and we'll do our testing with it and we'll see what...
I'm not going to say no, you know.
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, it's a curiosity, definitely.
Yeah.
So...
But one other thing.
What would you use though?
Oh, to authenticate it?
Yeah. Like
just,
tell people what meters or what should we use?
It's just like doing a regular investigation, except you just set the meters there and set the camera up to make sure, see if it moves or that you can, if your K2 meter goes crazy, you'll be able to say, okay, look, it's going crazy. But, you know, same thing as always. You got
so like a digital recorder, a videotape.
Yeah.
Any type of your ghost like we hunting have equipment.
The Ovilus,
okay.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And the camera to make sure, you know, see if the doll moves mm-hmm. or anything. And it's a long process, just like ghost hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing. Put it on a stand out in the shed or somewhere. Make sure there's no electricity around it. You know,
wind. No, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No outside influences.
Yeah.
And then if you do get something, then maybe you can classify it as haunted. Yeah. But, you know, it's, I think people use that term so loosely.
Well, yeah.
I think if they have any little tiny hint of something, you know, you can't go screaming from the top of your lungs that it's, this doll's haunted with a demon. You don't know that.
And we've mentioned it before.
You got to get a second demons opinion.
And the dark side, I guess you want to say, mm-hmm. is like 1% of very hauntings.
Rare.
Yeah. Very rare. But people love the drama. They love the, you know, mm-hmm. the shock value.
Right.
You know, you got a doll that the hand moves. In a 12-hour span, the hand will move like a quarter inch, and they'll say it's a demon. Well, maybe it's just the previous owner's spirit in that doll.
Sure, yeah.
And you got to remember, time to us is nothing to them. You know,
mm-hmm.
there's no such thing as time on the other side. So 1 millisecond over there could be 100 of our years, or
vice versa.
Yeah.
That's interesting. You know, I've seen, you know, different shows and videos of like all kinds of things, you mm-hmm. know, not just dolls. I know we focus on dolls because they kind of represent the human form, but you know, I think anything can, you know, like different materials, wood,
buildings.
Yeah.
I mean, we
soil,
do it all the time. Yeah.
Soil, I would think.
Soil's a big one because you got to think of like the battlefields and that where actual blood and, you know, you think about like Gettysburg
mm-hmm,
and places like that. Yeah. They think about if you dug up that soil
mm-hmm.
and did DNA testing, you would get something because you have to. As much blood and all that went in there.
I don't know. I mean, what's the chemical composition and how quickly does, you know, that stuff decompose mm-hmm. or I don't know. I wouldn't do it. I mean, obviously it's sacred ground.
No, I'm just saying if the person's blood went into
soaked
the ground.
Yeah.
And it could be anything like in the house or, you know, one thing that when we go into these old buildings,
mm-hmm.
you want, when you do your investigations, you want to almost focus on stuff that was original to that building, like the boiler rooms in the school mm-hmm. that we went to
mm-hmm.
or the steam engine we saw in Chicago, stuff that has been in that building ever since it was built.
Yeah.
Stuff will attach to that because it's familiar to them.
Why would something attach?
I don't know about
that.
Saying, yeah.
Why would something attach itself to an object that may sit there for years and years and years and nobody even come around it?
But like, I think that we got to remember about, we're thinking about linear time.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as time
then.
You know, for them, like I said, if they're leaning against, let's just say they're a physical being
mm-hmm.
in the spirit world or whatever, just for references. If that person's leaning against that steam engine or the generator or whatever, that pillar or whatever in that building, to them, they're just leaning against it and then they leave.
Mm-hmm.
To us, that could be 100, 200, 300 years that they're leaning against that because time means nothing over there.
So what happens when an object that is either, I'll say haunted, just for lack of a better term, haunted or has an attachment or something is, I don't want to say possessing it because that's kind of heavy, but whatever.
Yeah.
You know, just that.
Well,
what happened is if it gets destroyed, where does the energy go?
I was thinking too, because you have all the bits and pieces of it. Does it get scattered? Or?
I don't know.
Because you can never.
Interesting.
You can never.
So you have a haunted chair, an mm-hmm. electric chair that many people have been
killed in. Why do they always call them Sparky?
I don't know.
But anyhow.
Probably because the old one sparked.
Yeah.
Because they put a sponge on your head, then a metal thing over it. I mean, what a way to go. You know, it's like...
Anyway, is a, what a way to go.
Yeah, that's true. It's just, that's a whole nother debate. But okay, say if you have an electric chair that had 300 electrocutions in it and got struck by lightning and burned up, or there was a fire in the museum it's in. Then what happens?
Yeah, where does that energy go? Because energy can never be destroyed. It transfers form, so maybe it, when that lightning would strike it, you know, we're just using this as an example, but when that lightning would strike it, the energy that goes into the ground is, it's almost like a vacuum cleaner where it sucks all the energy into the ground.
That's interesting.
You know, I don't know. I'm just, these are ideas I've just thrown around.
I'm just wondering what our listeners think. Call our phone number and let us know.
Yeah.
We have a phone line that you guys can call into. It's a Google phone number. It's just a voicemail. We don't answer it. But you can definitely call in and just give us your thoughts on it. And you'll, then we can talk about it.
Sexy voice.
Yeah, you get to hear Joe's voice. But, you know, just what do you guys think? What do you think of where energy goes once it... You got the number there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember it, so I had to pull out my phone real quick. It's 740-720-0225.
Yeah.
Not 222-225.
Okay.
So anyhow, that's our 222 paranormal hotline.
Okay. Here's another thing. Okay. Right. I'll just use this as an example. I'm not saying this is really what's happening, but it's just for an example. The Dybbuk box.
Oh, yeah.
There's a spirit, a malevolent spirit. A naughty spirit.
Yeah, I can never say that word.
Or a darker spirit attached trapped in there.
Yeah.
You open the box. You're not supposed to open the box. You open the box. It gets out. Where does it go?
Well, we did mention that in the episode that we did on the Dybbuk box, and you guys can go back and listen to that whole episode, and we'll link it up in the show notes. But anyhow, I think that it doesn't actually come out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like a volume control on a Marshall amp. You're turning it all the way up to 11. But to me, that's what I think, is that you're not actually letting it out per se. You're just opening up and it's like a spotlight coming out. It shines into the room and lights up.
But don't you think that if something is trapped in an object and it's released, it's going to go to the closest source of energy, which would be
possible.
A human, because we are made of energy and we have electricity running through our body. I mean, we're almost like a power source.
Yeah. And that's why people lots of time get, when they go to these ghost hunts or, you know, investigations, they actually like get drained. They get the energy drained out of them.
I know, it's happened to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you get, that's why we take snacks, so we can replenish.
It's back to the snacks.
It all leads back to,
actually,
all
though,
roads lead to snacks.
I really don't eat that much when we go on investigations because my stomach growls so loud.
Oh my gosh.
We talked about
every
it on the
time.
Last show.
Okay, so if you want to, you know, go and observe haunted objects.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. These ones obviously have been investigated. There's some kind of, you know, history to these places. These are some of the, these are top, I want to say top, but this is 5 haunted museums. So haunted object museums that you can, you know, go to or research. The first one is the Warren Occult Museum, which is in Connecticut. So this is owned by Lorraine Warren and John Zaffis. I don't know if he has a separate one from hers or if she's given him this. Well, next time we see John Zaffis in person. Oh my God, he's so funny. He is the card, man. He is so funny. But anyways, we love him. It's called the Warren Occult Museum. Now there they have a haunted child's tombstone. They have a vampire coffin. And then the most famous thing they have there is the Annabelle doll.
Yeah.
You know, we all talked about Annabelle, and I don't know what that noise is. But
that's the leaf blower.
Oh, sorry. Joe's neighbor's leaf blowing.
Again.
This is next one is one that you can go and see at conferences is the Traveling Museum of the Paranormal and Occult.
Yeah, we talked to them. I'm horrible with names. I can't remember their names.
I know, but they're so nice.
They were so cool.
And they travel around. They take some of their haunted objects on the road with them, but then I think they do have a, you know, actual physical museum somewhere. I'll have to look that up for you guys.
Yeah, well, they do, because when they get objects in, they put them out, not in their house, but they put them out in a different building. and let them sit there and authenticate and all that. Yeah. So if they are.
Yeah, we'll
haunted.
Talk about that afterwards. I got something to say about that. But okay. So in there, they have the Crone of the Catskills, which is some kind of looks like a carved wooden object.
Okay.
Ruby the Doll. They have the Corrupted Testament, which I didn't get to look and research, but it had like an upside down cross on it. So I'm thinking it might be something occultish. Oh, okay. Or yeah.
Did they had that with them.
I didn't see it.
Okay.
But you may have seen it.
I thought I saw that when we were at Michigan Paracon.
Yeah. And then they have that dark mirror, that scrying mirror.
Scribing mirror?
Scrying mirror. I don't know. I think we talked about that before, but I don't know what that is. I guess it's like some kind of fortune telling, but you could see your future or something in it. I don't know.
Yeah,
so
that's
anyways,
something I got to look up.
Yeah, I think, you know, next time we run into them in a conference, which we probably will because they're going to be at, Joe and I are going to be at, in April, I know it's a ways away, but you know how fast time goes. In April of 2018, we're doing a convention at the Toledo Yacht Museum.
Oh, Yacht Club.
Toledo Yacht Club. I almost
That's called. A long time away, but yeah. We're working on it.
It's a Midwest Parafest or something. Okay. Like I can't remember, but anyways, we'll post it later.
We'll let you know
when
it gets warmer out.
Yeah. But so they'll be there. So if you guys want to check them out, you know, just go to their website. They have a really cool Twitter account too that I follow. There's another one. It's called the Museum of Shadows. It's in New England. And they claim that they have 1,000 verified haunted objects in this one. So that's interesting. I want to say something about that after I get through this list here. But there's another one. It's called the Haunted Objects Museum of the UK. United Kingdom. It's across the pond. Hello, loves. Oh, hi, Paul, too. Our friend Paul. He's across the pond over there. He listens. Hi, Paul. So in this museum, they have violent attacks. There's pictures of people have pinched, scratched, burned, burn marks of crosses on their skin.
Really?
Yeah. And that's the one where the crying boy painting is.
Okay.
And Joe, you were talking about the crying boy earlier.
Yeah, when I was researching this, I kept coming up with a lot. I'll mention a few here in a minute, but the same ones keep coming up. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the last one that we're just going to mention, of course, is Zach's Haunted Object Museum, Museum in Las Vegas.
Finally open.
Yeah. So he has the Dybbuk box. He has Jack Kevorkian's van in there. I guess there's all kinds of... Not sure if Peggy the doll is there.
I think
maybe she visited.
I think she is.
Okay.
But I was watching, when doing research, I was watching some videos, and it showed that Robert the doll was there.
No, I thought he was in Key West.
He is.
Maybe he's visiting for
That's
the opening.
Possible. That's
Maybe
possible.
He's making an appearance. I wonder if he gets paid for his appearance.
Yeah.
Okay, so one thing I wanted to say about haunted objects, if you think that you have received a haunted object... And before you authenticate, do your research. One, do your research.
Yeah.
Two, do your research. And three, may not be the best idea to bring it into your house right away.
Well, that's why we say when you authenticate, you put it in a different building and just set it there by itself, alone with no electricity, no wind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you can turn the lights on if it has electricity out there, but so you can watch the video. But
well, you just don't want to take that chance. What? There's always that what if, right?
Well, yeah, always.
What if something very negative is attached to this? What if what if you don't know the history? What if you go to you go to an antique store and you buy something.
Yeah.
You don't know what kind of history. You buy an antique gun or an antique sword.
Yeah.
And you bring it into your house. You don't know if it's been used in battle. I mean, what if you do and this object killed one or many people? And has that
would have a negative habitation or whatever you say.
Yeah.
Negative.
Do you want to take that chance of bringing that in your house and it could jump into you?
You never know. But people buy stuff at antique stores and regular, I mean, any kind of, you know, resale shop or even the estate sales.
Oh, yeah. We were going to talk about estate sales. So Joe and I were talking to our cousin one day and she had a friend who is a estate sellers. So they go in after people pass away and they basically have a garage sale, yard sale, or house sale, estate sale to sell all the objects in the house. She was telling us that these people encounter ghosts and spirits all the time and it's like no big deal to them. The spirits are very upset that all of their possessions are being sold.
Yeah.
And they have activity all the time and they just ignore it because it happens all this like second nature to them. I'm like, oh, I never thought of that.
No.
You go into somebody's home, you're giving away and selling their things that have been their things for years.
Yeah.
China cabinets.
Everything.
Personal belongings.
Clothing.
Clothing, hairbrushes, photographs, jewelry. Mm-hmm. You know, things that they are very attached to. Mom and Dad's calling us during the middle of our show here. But you recently passed away. What if you pass away in the house? These are your things. Strangers are coming through your house.
Mm-hmm.
How would you not be upset if you were still here on this plane in your space and somebody's coming and taking your things?
And as a residual thing or even a regular haunting like that, to them, they're still in their own time.
Right.
And all of a sudden they see people coming in their houses and, you know, who knows if they see them as people. You know, we've talked to a few mediums that mm-hmm. or psychics, I don't know which one you call them, that say that, oh yeah, I see all these people standing in the room right now and half of them are dead. They look like regular people
to them.
So how do we know that that spirit is just like sitting in our house and all of a sudden these people start showing up and selling their stuff and they're yelling at them going, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know?
But just think of the amount of activity that people who are in that business encounter.
Yeah. And then we talk about too.
We got to get them on the air.
We talk about it too, is how we always say to say your closing prayer after you leave your ghost investigations mm-hmm. or hunts. They don't do anything like that, but all those objects are have an attachment of some sort, maybe. Could I don't be. Know. And if they say they see activity that much, do they say the same thing when they leave the house? Do they say, stay here?
You know? Here's a question, and this is just, I'm not asking, but it's just a rhetorical question.
Well, if they want to answer, they can call us on their phone or leave us an email.
Okay, yeah. All right, so here's the question. A person is attached to multiple things. Say your wedding ring,
mm-hmm.
A lock of your child's hair, something very personal, maybe your parents' wedding rings.
Yeah.
Can a spirit attach to multiple items?
I don't know.
That's just my thought.
It's energy.
And can your energy be broken up into multiple objects? One.
We kind of talked about that earlier too. With you know, if something gets broke, does it go into each piece? We don't know.
Yeah, interesting.
So if you guys help us out here, send us a message.
So another thing that I just kind of wanted to talk about is if you have multiple. Okay, so for this example, this Museum of Shadows in New England has 1,000 verified haunted objects. How do you have that? Okay, just. Bear with me, folks.
Yeah.
I'm just asking. How do you have that many objects in one place that have those attachments? And the attachments are like bouncing their energy off each other, fighting with each other, or does it create a giant vortex of negative, positive energy?
Yeah. That's funny because we did mention that before. We talked about
how could you walk in a museum with that many attachments, haunted objects, and it not drain all the energy out of you.
Or you just walk in and pass out. Yeah, I know. We mentioned that before when we talked about Zach's place, I believe, and you put all that stuff in one place. What happens?
Yeah. Just a food for thought.
Let us know what you think.
Yeah.
When I go through and I was looking at my research, I found that the same things come up over and over again.
Okay.
So it's just like the most haunted objects.
Tell us some... Famous one
of them is Ann Baker's wedding dress.
Ooh, what's that?
This dress is said to have belonged to a woman named Anna who purchased it for a wedding that never occurred and never took place. Anna died a spinster in 1914, and the dress was put on display by the Baker Madison Museum in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
People that work in the museum always claim that the dress is moving around.
Ooh, I want to go there and see that.
You mentioned this one here. This is one of the top ones that keeps coming up is the crying boy painting.
Yes.
It seems like every place this painting has been has either caught on fire, been in floods. The families die without any reason why. So that's supposedly one of the most haunted objects in the world. And that's over in Britain right now.
Okay.
Britain.
Across the pond.
Here's one purchased in 1987 by Alan and Debbie Tillman. this set of bunk beds. So it's the Tillman bunk beds.
Oh, we know somebody named
the
Tillman.
The Tillman bunk beds are Tillman. Haunted. We're jealous. He has a traveling
RV.
RV. Or, I wanted to put it in a different term. A traveling ghost hunting
mobile command
mobile command center.
Yeah, we're jealous. We're jealous, Chris Tillman.
But the bunk beds sat in their basement for months as preparations were made to move it upstairs for their children. During the 9 months, serious horrific events took place in their home, including radios changing stations. That's a horrific event.
Oh, it's horrific.
If it, I'm listening to music and it turns
it's
to
classic rock. Yeah.
Vision of witches, mm-hmm. ghostly voices, and the families getting into dangerous situations. They believe the bunk beds were a source of this activity, so they burned them. So the Tillman family do not have bunk beds now. All the kids have to sleep on the floor. Or in their new RV.
Okay, so like if you burn a haunted object, is that
see, that's
does that make it even worse? I mean, does that increase the activity? Or does that infuriate the spirit that's attached to it?
Who knows?
Evil.
Evil. Rudolph Valentino's ring is apparently extremely haunted.
Huh.
For some reason, the ring is very haunted. I don't know what activity. There's no explanation. That's very odd.
So the James Dean Ferrari, is it a Ferrari that he died in? And then that, somebody bought that engine.
Spider.
Yeah, that had some kind of
that has
haunting
a,
or curse. Well,
it's more of a curse.
What's the difference between a curse and a haunting?
I don't know.
There's another show, Joe.
Maybe a haunting is put on by the person that died, and a curse is put on by somebody that's living and put a curse on it.
Yeah, I could
I don't know.
Throw a couple of those on some people I know.
Is that what those dolls are for?
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, so just you know, it's such a hot topic right now, mm-hmm. haunted objects. Everybody's on the bandwagon about, you know, having one or wanting one or going to see one, so... Just be careful. Be very careful. Like, you know, if you go to, say, an antique dealer or something and something just doesn't feel right, mm-hmm. you know, just go with your instincts.
Yeah.
Or if you're in a place, you know, maybe you do ghost hunting and there's something, you know, strange or odd you find, just be careful.
Yeah.
That's all we're saying. Just be careful.
So if you go into a antique store, just take your K2 meter.
That's a good idea. We should try it, Joe. Maybe we should try it. But yeah, I mean, you never know, but it could be something positive. Maybe
it usually is.
It could be, you know, somebody just loved and admired this. Maybe they handcrafted mm-hmm. it. You know, I always think like very personal things like wedding rings.
Yeah.
You know, there's got to be a lot of love energy in there, unless it was a bad marriage and you got divorced. I don't know. I've never been married. So how would I know? Somebody buy me a ring.
Yeah.
Just kidding. No, but, you know,
you just got to be really careful. And if you get an object that, let's say you buy an object that you know is haunted and you're mm-hmm. buying it because it's haunted.
Just be careful.
Don't put it in your house, because we've had so many stories of families getting so much tragedy.
Yeah, you don't know.
No, you
why
never
take
know.
The risk, especially if you have small children in the mm-hmm. house? You know, why take the risk?
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
So, speaking about small children, we have an announcement.
You're having a baby.
Next weekend.
No, I was going to say, Joe, what are you trying to tell
having
us?
Having my baby.
You slow. No. Okay, so
no,
next weekend.
There's going to be a lot of children next weekend, and they're all going to be us adults acting like children at... Glass City Paracon next weekend. I said next weekend, but
it's the
21st.
Please come out and see us. We want to meet you guys. We want to take selfies. And Joe, tell everybody what they can get when they come out.
What? Clothing.
We have
so, folks, I want you to come out to the show naked. And buy some of our shirts.
Oh, hell no. Scratch that last thought. No.
No, we have our new shirts in. We have I Speak EVP shirts.
Yes.
We also have Seriously Squatchy t-shirts.
I love them. They're so cool. You guys have to buy them and wear them. And we have a few 222 Paranormal.
women's shirts.
Women, ladies' shorts. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if a guy wants to wear them, they can, but they're V-neck and they're cute. But we also have dowsing rods and our stickers. And, you know, just come out and see us. I have my, I have some really cute earrings that I made. There's little haunted houses, little Day of the Dead earrings. There's kitty cats and ghost earrings. So you guys got to come out and check them out. I'll be wearing my haunted house ones. But thanks for listening, everybody. Yes. Joe, great show.
Get up there and please leave us a positive rating review on wherever you get your podcast from. Yeah,
definitely. That helps us move up in the rankings, and we appreciate it. Bye, everybody.
We'll listen to a little bit of Gnome from 60 Second Crush on the way out here.
Yeah, rock out with your haunted object out.
Yeah.
Bye. All right.
See ya.